Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to Psalm 42. The book of Psalm and 42. We're continuing with our series of the names of God, with each one of these names of God that we learn more about God's characteristics, His attributes. We learn more about who God is. And the study of the names of God become very important because they show us that we could trust God in every circumstance. They remind us that we could depend upon God no matter what we may face. We're thankful that we could have these examples. In Psalm 42, we have not just one, but two names of God revealed to us in this one psalm. Notice with me as we look together, Psalm 42 and verse number 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I've gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise and a multitude that kept the holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I should yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill Mazar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. And I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark two names of God that are shown to us in Psalm 42? Notice with me in verse 8, the end of it, it says, The God of my life, God of my life. And then we also see in verse number 9, God my rock, God my rock. And with both of these, we're going to see a dependence upon God. The God of my life, for those of you who are spelling such things, it's E-L space C-H-A-I-Y-A-I, the God of my life. And then the God of my rock is E-L space S-A-L-I, God of my life, God my rock. And with this, we're going to see the idea of thirsting for God. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, I'm asking that you would just help us to be able to see your Bible, to see your word, to be able to see that you are trustworthy, even in those desert times. I'm asking that you would just help give us grace and mercy even now, Lord, that we could look up towards you, that you would set aside distractions, set aside things that may be in our hearts and our minds. For now, that we could look to you and see that you are trustworthy, that you could prepare us for those dark seasons to be able to hope in you. Lord, encourage us even now through your precious word. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 42 is written from the perspective of someone dealing with real sorrow and feels far away from God. We're not told who wrote it. Some people attribute it to David when he was fleeing from Absalom. Others will attribute it to Hezekiah himself when he's surrounded by the Assyrians and he's not able to get to the place of worship. Either way, it's not the main point. The main point is that there's someone who's hurting, who's crying out to God and needing God and that dependence on those hard, horrible times. Psalm 42 begins the second book within Psalms. Remember Psalms, 150 different chapters. There are five books and different natural divisions. Psalm 42 begins the second book, the second anthology of Psalms, a different theme found within here. And it's also connected with the sons of Korah. Remember, these men were the descendants of Korah who rebelled against God, who made a decision after that we are going to serve God, and they became faithful to serve God for the rest of their lives. And so it's even special that this is attributed to that family as a chorus for them to sing. And if any family knew hardship and knew what it was like to have to make a decision to depend on God, even in the hard times, it would be this descendants of Korah. And so there's a lot of history that sits around this throne and yet shows that there's a gracious God who is a very present help in the time of need. The two names that we find in here is, first of all, the El Karaya, which is the God of my life. This shows the personal relationship the psalmist has with God. He's not just the giver of life. He's the one who keeps it going. And in these dark desert times, in these times of sorrow, sometimes you may not know how you keep going, but depending upon God to give you the next step and the next step and the next step. And it gives you hope to be able to depend upon God even in those dark seasons. In addition, we have another name of God in the same psalm, God, my rock. This carries the idea of having a stability and protection. It doesn't shift when it seems like everything else is shifting. And so here, the psalm is saying, why hast thou forgotten me? He's not turning from God. He's holding on to what he knows. Lord, I need you. You said you're going to be faithful. You said that you're going to be there, and I need you now, my rock. I need that dependence. I need that stability when the psalmist is feeling unstable. This is, again, setting up a time that we could depend upon God in our dark seasons. We could depend upon God in our desert seasons. We can trust God when it seems like everything else has gone away. We've had a theme today with Sunday school, Sunday morning and Sunday night, carrying the idea that we have to dig a deep well of knowledge of God so that way when we come to these dark seasons, we're able to thrive and survive, to be able to go on. And that only happens when we've dug down securely to God. And you have to do those before the dark seasons. Someone who's in these dark seasons that is not already anchored to God is not going to find that stability, not going to find that anchor, not going to be able to trust the dependability of God because it hasn't been anchored before that place. We have the theme that before we go to those dark seasons, it's important for us to have a personal knowledge of God, to dig a deep well full of our wealth of knowledge of who God is. So when it does seem like everything dries up, when it does seem like there's no more rain, when it does not seem like there's any prosperity, we can still go forward. It is important to have this deep well dug and not just a surface area. And we'll cover that in just a second. As we go through here, let's kind of examine this psalm, and we're going to look at it disjointedly, but kind of telling the story and explaining what's going on. Notice, if you don't mind, the first thing, past memories. Past memories. As we look here, we see the psalmist is beginning to look back in the days when he walked in the congregation and he walked in and joined in the songs of praise. Notice with me in verse number 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had, past tense, gone with a multitude. I went up with them to the house of God. The voice of joy and praise in the multitude that kept the holy day. Remember, in the present tense, the psalmist is going through hard times. And he says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. He says, I go back and I remember the good times when I learned about God. I was faithful to God's house. I dug a deep well. I was able to remember the joy and praise. I learned about God during those good seasons that I kept. Verse number 6. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of the Jordan, of the Hermonites, and from the hill Mazar. He says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Again, I'm quoting Lamentations chapter number 3, which we're covering in Sunday school. But the idea is that before we hit these dark seasons, we have to be drilling that deep hole, that deep well, so we have something to draw from, to remember, to go back to the past, to remember the characteristics of God, the attributes of God, the goodness of God, the mercies of God, the faithfulness of God, who God is. Because it's when we remember God in our dark seasons, it helps us to go on. If we haven't had a personal relationship, an intimate relationship, a knowledgeable relationship, we will have nothing to pull from, nothing to remember when we hit those dark seasons. It is important before we hit those dark seasons that we're spending time with God, being in our Bible, learning of Him, communing with Him, being with Him. So that way we have something to draw from, something to remember during those times. Because of that, he was able to say, I recall these to my remembrance. And because of this, even though I'm in a dark time, and it seems like God is so far away, God is my life. And he says, I'm able to live. He's the one that's holding me. He's the one that's keeping me breathing. He's the one that's keeping me stepping forward. God is my life. This I recall to my memory. Therefore, I have hope. He says, not only is God my life, He's my rock. He's what I'm depending on. The world is changing. Everything seems to be against me. Everything's trying to go knock me off. I have no stability except that God's still on the throne, that God is still good, and that God is still right. How does this stabilize him? Because he goes back and remembers. He had this deep well of knowledge of God, and now he's able to draw from it. He's able to drink from it. And when it seems like there's no rain, imagine at a time where it's dry. It doesn't seem like the blessings of God are there. It doesn't seem like you're getting the prosperity. It doesn't seem. How do you keep going? You have to have some sort of water source. And when you dig that deep well of the knowledge of God, you're still able to drink during those dry times, thirsting after God, drinking after Him. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Once again, he says, the psalmist in verse 4, when I remember these things. In verse number 6, oh my God, when my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee. The important thing that if you're going to have stability in those awful times, you have to build up in the good times a knowledge of God. So that way you have life. And you have a rock that you could depend upon. You could remember, I need to trust God. I need to remember God is still good. And it keeps you going when you have no other reason to go forward. As we go on, notice what else we see. Not only do we see this past memories, but also look, a present sorrow. Currently, present tense, he's going through some hard times. Notice with me in verse number 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Here the psalmist is worn down by what he is facing. His tears are constant. Have you ever been through a period of time where it was so bad you just felt like you cried every day, multiple times a day? tears of anguish, tears of frustration, tears of hopelessness. I don't know what to do. I have that pit in the stomach. I feel no way out. There's no way of escape. And on top of that, the people said, oh, I thought you were a believer. Where's your God now? And the psalmist has to shrug his shoulders because he can't show anything about God's goodness at the current time. And they're making fun of him and they use him as a derision. You wasted all that time going to the house of God. What do you have to show for it now? All that time in your Bible? How's that doing for you now? You said, people aren't that mean. They're absolutely that mean. And they're just kicking him while he's down. And he's in tears. And instead of trying to help them, they're mocking him. They're kicking him. And that's not helping the situation. It's making it worse. Sorrow has become his portion. This is what he eats. What does he eat? He eats tears. He has so many tears coming down. But that's just his everyday helping. He wakes up with it. He goes to bed with it. There's no morning lift and no night relief. Along with the sorrow was those voices. Oh, those voices that seemed to mock his walk with God. The whole time they're trying to get him to doubt the God that he has. And again, what would keep him from doubting during this time when the people are derision? Only when he beforehand had digged a deep well, had a time with God, proving that God is still good and God is still right, and being able to go back. He says, it doesn't seem like it right now, but I have to recall to my mind that God is still good and that God is still right. I can still go forward because I'm trusting in God. When everyone else is telling me to stop believing in God, he says, I have to. I have to. During this hard time, I have to cling to him even more. Notice in verses 9 and 10, the pain goes even more. Verse number 9. I will say to the God of my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? He feels as if heaven has gone silent and his prayers have gone unanswered. This is what we're talking about, that dry period where it just seems like heaven's shut off. It's closed off. Where's God at? I need him more than ever and it doesn't seem like he's showing up. Where's he at? I need God. How do you survive those periods? Only when you go back and say, God is still good and God's still right. I've learned before and I'm trusting him now. You don't learn this on the fly. You learn this by having that relationship before these dark times. Notice he goes on with this description, verse 10. As with a sword in my bones. He says, the reproach of his enemies is cutting into his very being. That same taunt over and over again. Where's my God? Where's your God? Where's your God? The attack is being directed at him. That's the part that keeps him steady is his dependence on God. But the attack is directly there. You can't trust God. God's not dependable. He's not good. He's abandoned you. That's the only thing keeping him steady. That's the only thing keeping him alive. And if that last cord is cut, there's no life left. There's a hopelessness. There's an ending of it all. You understand this is the very critical period when that last thread of hope is anchored onto God, my rock. God, my life. And it seems like everything's attacking that last thread. Knowing that you're at wit's end and still depending upon God. Why? You cannot survive attack like this if you haven't proven and tested when God was good in the daylight. To be able to say, God is my life. It's attacking this. And this is how the enemy works. Satan wants us hopeless. The world wants us hopeless. Our flesh even wants us hopeless. You're like, my flesh? Yeah, your flesh loves to be miserable. Many of you have had practice at that, where your flesh wants to be miserable, so therefore you are. And you have to purposely choose to depend upon God. Even your own flesh is saying it's not worth it. You can't keep going. Why do you keep trying? This isn't working out. Let's do something else. Let's just make yourself happy. Forget all of this. It's too much trouble. And all of this, the psalmist is not turning away. He keeps reaching for God. He's longing for God to grow stronger because he knows the rock has not changed. He keeps going forward even in this dark season because he knows that God, it is life. His emotions may be unsettled, but God is not. This becomes what keeps the psalmist going. And so we start off with the past memories that he had a time before the bad things happened that he spent time with God, dug a deep well, developed a relationship. So when those present sorrows came, it came to the place where it seemed everything was attacking. And if he did not previously have that walk with God, he would not survive this period now. Why? Because he had to believe to see that God was still good and that God was still right. He had to have that deep well that he could still anchor himself to. Otherwise, he would have been washed away. He would have quit. He would have fallen apart. He wouldn't have survived. He would have stopped following after God. But he had to anchor himself down, even though everything was attacking, trying to say it's not worth it, it's not true. If your God was real, he'd be here now. If your God was real, he'd deliver you. If your God was real, you wouldn't be suffering through this. He had to say, I believe that God was still good and God is still right. And that only happened when in the good times he made sure that he had a good Bible reading, a good walk with God. It anchored it down. He learned that God was good in the light, so that way he didn't have to doubt God in the night. Which brings us to the third thing, the panting for God. The panting for God. Now, I've used the illustration on purpose all day because it's fit with all three messages. And that's an illustration of water. We know that in order to survive, we all must have water. It is one of the necessities. Without water, you cannot survive. It becomes the very basic element that keeps us going. Just like that, God is our very basic element that we have to have. And we have to have in order to survive, in order to thrive. We must be well watered. Notice in verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks. A hart is a type of deer. Now, this is a little bit harder for us to grasp in well-watered Wisconsin, which we have lots of water. We have rain, we have beautiful green, we have rivers, we have brooks, we have streams, we have all kinds of things. But if I can remind you that the setting of the Bible is in the Middle East, in a desert region. And so a deer in this desert region can go a long time without water. But when it finds water, even to the neglect of its own safety, it rushes to the water and drinks 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 because there's no guarantee when it will get water again. And so this psalm says, as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. He says, I need to drink you up because I don't know when the next dry season will come. I don't know when this next period of challenge will come. I have to drink you up now. By the way, this is not a chapter a day keeps the devil away. This is a fellowship you develop, a relationship you develop with God, drinking him in those good days, so you have a deep well to draw from in those dry seasons. To be able to take advantage while you have plenty of water now, to drink it in, to make it a part of you, so you have a deep well to draw from when everything else is dried up. Notice again in verse 2. My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. When shall I appear before God? This here is a powerful statement. My soul thirsteth for God. He wants to have fellowship with God. When's the last time you were thirsty for God? Most people, because you are not used to drinking water, keep drinking junk. If you could tie it into there. You got water, soda, diet soda, flavored water, this, that, and the other. Ew, just water. But your body needs water. And water is good for you. And you need to develop an appetite for water. But water's boring. But it's life-giving. A lot of people have got flavored junk. Sugary drinks that are actually killing you. And so instead of water, I'd rather have the Dr. Pepper. Instead of water, I'd rather have this. Instead of water, I'd rather have this. And you've developed a habit for junk. And water just seems so boring. But you start to thirst after water and start to really appreciate water, how much water you need a day to keep your body going. Most people in America do not have enough water. Don't drink enough water. And your body is shutting down and having issues medically, physically, because you don't have enough water. You're like, yeah, you're preaching at me. I'm trying to help you. Because it's the same thing. That we filled ourselves full of junk that we find water boring. And we filled our life full of junk, sugary drinks, diabetes, everything else, that we don't appreciate the refreshing water that God is, and we don't thirst after him. What do you mean thirst after him? Meaning you can't wait to get into your Bible reading and you have to be pried away from your Bible reading. What? People do that? I just get it done. Yeah, you're not thirsty. What's the main purpose of the Bible? To reveal God to man. Thirsting after him is that I want to know more about him. I want to learn more about him. I can't wait to find out more about him. I'm thirsting for it. That's where God wants us to be. That's how we survive those hard times, is that we've dug a deep well because we've thirsted for him. We realize how important this water was, and we want to make sure we have enough of it. Most people, as we've tried to describe before, have maybe a little trench. It's not deep. It may be wide, but it's very shallow. And when a heat comes, a drought comes, it will dry up very quickly. The idea in the Christian life is to dig a deep, deep well and have it filled with water so you can continue to draw from it in abundance during those dry seasons. That you could thirst after him and be hydrated, thirst after him and be spiritually fulfilled, that he could be that life-giving essence, even in the midst of the hard times, that we're just not merely surviving, but we're thriving spiritually during those hard times. But most people don't have a deep well. What they have is a trench. And even in a church like this, where we have deeper preaching, all that you have is a deeper trench, but it's not a well. And you may have more water than others for a small amount of time during the desert times, but it will dry up quickly if that is your only source. Every person must have their own personal walk with God. Every person must be thirsty for God for themselves, that you learn about God for yourselves, that you cannot be dependent upon another person for your spiritual life. For example, if you are dependent upon a pastor, and that is the only food source, water source you get, what happens if something happens to the pastor? Will you still move forward in your Christian life? This is why a lot of good churches die when the pastor leaves. It proved that they didn't have a deep well. A church that is operating correctly will move forward even if something happens to the pastor. Now, this is a critical question. Now, your pastor's not leaving you, but I do know have some medical things going on. Will the church move forward even if I'm down for a period? The only way that happens is if people have dug a deep well before it happens and thirsted after God and can survive by their own Bible reading, their own prayer life, their own walk with God without pastor constantly saying, read your Bible, pray, pray, pray. This becomes an idea because you have no guarantee of what's going to happen. Remember, in this psalm, the psalmist is hurt because he can't make it to the house of God. He is cut off from that source. You need to be able to thrive. I'm not saying you could quit the church and go live in the woods. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that in the dry seasons, you should be able to move forward. Because of your own water source you have dug and filled up for yourself. That only comes when you develop a thirst for it. You could go ahead and develop a store of Dr. Pepper, but that will not survive and thrive you for long. You have to dig up your own water source of the correct water and fill it up. And be able to learn to draw from it and to live from it inside of those dry periods. To be able to go to the living God and be able to survive. Again, verse number 2. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. I'm thankful we have a living God, and you have to learn how to draw from Him, the living God. Notice in verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Notice here's the question. Soul, why are you having so many problems? Soul, why are you disquieted? He says, here's the solution. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The idea of countenance here is carrying with it the idea of God's presence. How does he have it? He's looking at the situation, and the situation is trying to get him not to trust in God. But he says, you know what? Stop. I've got a well to go draw from. I can go and depend upon the rock of my salvation, the stability. I can go to this water source, the God of my life, and be able to sustain myself. Why am I this way when I have a well of water to dig through? You don't have to be desperate for water if you have your own well. You could go back and dig from it. The rest of the water sources can be polluted and corrupted, but if you got your own well, you could still thrive when everyone else is struggling. But that only happens when you've dug in your own well. And so we ask a question, why am I disquieted? Why am I messed up? I could go to a water source. I don't have to fret. I could go. I'm thankful I've already have it built. Notice as it goes on. Verse number 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? He's repeating this again. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. He says, why am I disquieted? Why am I certain? I need to go back, recall these things to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. I had to dig. I dug a deep well. I have a deep relationship with God. I can go back with him and I can have hope in the midst of this. I could say, soul, listen, stop being so frantic. Stop running around. Stop panicking. We already have a water source. We're going to be fine. God's got this. God's still good. And I go back to that well. And notice both of these, verse 5 and verse 11 says, yet I shall praise him. The idea of praising God. Why? Because God's still good. And God's still right. How do I know I've got a deep well back there? Because I could go back to the well and go, praise the Lord, I still got water.
Amen.
look, there's still plenty in there. God's still good and God's still right. Why? I went in the good times, dug a deep well, filled it up with good water, and it's enough to sustain me during this dry period. I can still praise God because I've got this deep well. He has proven himself over and over. I have hope. I am not going to die. I could cling to him. I can praise him because I've dug this deep well. You understand? There's work to do before the dry times come. You have to dig that deep well yourself. You have to be able to fill it with the water that God supplies. So that way, during those hard times, you don't fall, you don't wither, you don't drift away, you don't crack, but you are well watered. And not just surviving, but thriving. Because God's still good and God's still right. I can still depend upon him. I still have this deep well to dig from. I still have this relationship I can still pull from that is going to last for a while. Praise the Lord. Amen. That you can keep going during this time. Hope thou in God, who, by the way, is the health of my countenance. The idea of a countenance is not just your facial expressions, but your whole demeanor. There is something who, from a person in a dry time who's dug a deep well, who has the water of God to pull from, that even in these awful times has a health of the countenance. Amen. This is what makes a difference. People say their God is real. Why? Because they're not faking it. They can tell by their mannerisms, their countenance, the way they move, the way that they speak, the way they have joy and on their face, even in the middle of these hard times, that, man, they have a deep well. They are plugged into God in this dark time. The health of my countenance. Some of you don't have a healthy countenance during the good days. Some of you look like you've been sucking on pickle juice or soaking in pickle juice and sucking on lemons. Look miserable in your good days. You need to be able to plug into God and find the joy of the Lord, the peace that he promised. So that way, your face, you know, remember when your parents say, you keep that facial expression, it's going to stay that way? Well, you need to keep it to stay good way. Yeah. Let that practice of smiling in and be able to say, God's still good, God's still right. And during those hard times, because you're plugged into God, you're well-watered, you have a health of a countenance, things are going to be all right. God is still good and God is still right, and I believe it. I'm able to walk through my day. God is still good and God is still right. But you know how horrible things are? God is still good and God is still right. But you understand? Your God's nowhere near. You're on your own. God is still good. God is still right. But you see how bad things are here. You see how they're trying to hurt you? God is still good and God is still right. But you lost your job. God is still good. God is still right. You've lost your health. God is still good. God is still right. But they hate you. God is still good. God is still right. How can you do that? I've gone and dug a deep well. I've thirsted for God and filled it up with life-giving water that comes from him. And during those hard times, I can go back and say, praise the Lord, there's still water. And I can still be thriving, not just surviving. And the health of my countenance is showing that God is still good and God is still right. And others can tell there's something healthy about me in those dark times because I'm plugged into the life-giving water of God, the God of my life, the God, my rock. We can trust God. This hope in God is not changed in circumstance, but is based in the character of God. This is the pattern through all of Scripture. Jeremiah, in the dungeon, for no reason, God is still good. God is still right. Paul in prison after being beaten for preaching the gospel is sitting in prison and begins to sing songs in a loud voice at midnight. His countenance was healthy. God is still good and God is still right. They've dug deep wells, filled it up full of water, and have plenty to thrive under, even in those desert times. And their countenance was heavy, healthy. These things I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. I have hope. I have stability. I have a dependence on God. Even when it doesn't seem like things are working out, that God is still good and God is still right. And I could say that because there's a deep well that I have. And I could draw from it even when everything else is there. The question is, dear friend, do you have that deep well? How deep is that well? The Christian life should be the never-ending pursuit of Jesus Christ, that you're continually making that deeper and deeper. You're constantly filling that up and making sure it's full, that you're not draining the resources during the good times, but you're filling it up. You're constantly thirsting after God. That deep well of the knowledge of who He is and the water of that personal, intimate relationship with Him. There's a lot of people who dig a deep well of learning about God, but they never fill it up with their personal relationship with God. You have to have a knowledge of God. Who is He? And then have that personal, intimate knowledge of Him. You dig that thing deep. And when you get to your dark times, notice I said when, you should still be able to thrive. And your countenance is heavy. You don't have the boo-hoo diseases. You don't have the poochy lip disease. Everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. Think I'll eat some worms. Woo-hoo. You don't have to look like you're miserable all the time. But a healthy countenance, because God is still good and God is still right. And I know the circumstances is not what I chose, but God is still good and God is still right. I cannot determine for you how deep your well is. That is your well to dig. And your own relationship with God fills it up. Some of you, maybe years ago, you dug a little bit of a well, but you've been running dry for a while. You've let your personal walk with God kind of walk away. You need to fill it up again. Some of you just have that little trench that I talked about before. It may be wide, but it's not very deep. Go dig that well. Learn about who God is. Don't be satisfied with your knowledge of God. Learn more about Him and then fill it up with your personal, intimate knowledge of God as you walk with Him. One day, when you hit those dark times, you don't have to quit. You don't have to wither away. You don't have to fold under. You have to keep going. As we go back to our first basic question, do you thirst after God? Are you thirsty for Him? Is He something that you want very badly? As long as it's still a take it or leave it, you will leave it every time. But you have to thirst after Him. Some of you have put so much junk in you, you're not thirsty. Let's get back to being thirsty. Dig this deep well. Have this life-giving water filled up in it so we can thrive when those desert times come. Maybe I follow up that question. If something happens to your pastor, will you keep going? Or will you dry up without this type of preaching? Will you still be able to move forward in your own Christian life if your pastor's not behind you trying to go, let's go, let's go, let's go? Will you thrive on your own, or will it be a period of pause until you wait for him to come back and now we've got to catch back up? Can you thrive on your own for a small period of time? Are you thirsty? Are you building those wells now? Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you, we're just asking that you would just give us grace and mercy. Lord, I do believe that this is a preparation time, that you are trying to give people preparation to go out and start digging that hole, start digging that well, and then start having that walk with you get thirsty for you. So that way, if something happens and I have this surgery, that it won't be a moment of pause in this church, but this, the Riverview Baptist Church, will still advance on because you're the great shepherd and they're dependent upon you and not me. Lord, thank you. And again, help us to examine, are we thirsty for you? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.